boys, Jeff Plum right here on Plum Love Foods Live here on a Monday night. Thanks for checking us out. We really appreciate it. Thanks for downloading the show. Thanks for listening live. All the things that you do when you check out these live audio broadcasts / podcasts, I really, really, truly appreciate it, because the show would not be anywhere without you guys here. So thank you very, very much. If you get 2 seconds, give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from, and subscribe, because it comes to you free. We do this show once a week to make sure you can be in touch with all the fun things happening in food. Let's play some dramatic music and start the show.
Price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few more days. I came to play to get my dues paid. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved.
Happy Monday night. What's happening? I hope you guys are doing well. We are. If you're here in the Northeast, hopefully you're not drenched and swimming, because it was a crazy, crazy downpour. I don't know why I do the weather every time I come on this fucking show. Why do I do that? I'm not a weather guy. What the hell is that even about? It's like a good segue into starting. I don't know why I do it. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. Hope you're having a great Monday. Hope your week's off to a fantastic start. My week's off to a great start. Although I try to be positive about all the weeks. They should all be off to great starts, right? You know, I mean, what did they say? It's another day above ground, above breathing space. I don't know, catching air, whatever it is. Nonetheless, we are here on a Monday night for Plum Love Foods Live, which, by the way, we are getting close to that 150 episodes. Isn't that insane? I think we might already be there. I don't know. It's a ton, but it's a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite things to do here during the week. I love kicking off the week by doing this show. Thanks for bearing with us last week. We couldn't do the Monday show, but we did get a Thursday show in with you with Matt Timms, the creator of The Takedown. Hope you enjoyed that show. It was pretty funny. He started talking about painting cats, and shit just got weird. He crochets, too, and knits, but we didn't get into all that. I was like, dude, that's too much. That's just too much. I love you, buddy, but damn. New York Hot Sauce Expo judging was what was happening last Monday night, so we had to do that and then do the show on Thursday. And, of course, the expo itself is this coming weekend. If you haven't got tickets yet, there's still some available. You can get it. It goes on for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can get your tickets. The New York Hot Sauce Expo at the Brooklyn Expo Center. You got to get tickets to this event. It's so much fun. Steve Seabury of High River Hot Sauce does a fantastic job of this event. So anyway, enough shilling of that stuff. It's good stuff, man. I'm going to try to go Sunday. If you guys want to say hi, I think I'll be there Sunday. We'll see if the wife lets me go. Actually, I can't really say that. I don't know what's happening. The kids are on spring break, so I think it's going to mess up the schedule for everything. But either way, check it out. If I can't go, you guys should go. It's really a fun event. You can meet some super cool people. The New York Hot Sauce Expo happening this weekend. And again, guys, like I said in the open, man, any ratings, reviews, and subscribe is a giant help. We got more subscribers now to this program than I've ever had, and I'm proud of that. Because it's funny, cause I sit here at my bar, I have my fancy schmancy microphone, my fancy schmancy headphones on the computer, and I have a cocktail. And tonight's cocktail, for those of us not drinking beer, if there's anybody else who's like that besides me, not drinking beer, I am having a little sparkling seltzer water with some lemon vodka and ice. That's right. I tell you what, Montauk Brewing Company's beers have come out for the summer, and their Watermelon Session Ale came out. And for those of you who know, in the summertime, dude, that is the beer to have. It is the Mac Daddy. It is the Jam Session. It's the be-all, end-all. One of the greatest beers I've ever had in my life. And my buddy Adam, who's out there in the West Coast, working hard right now, cutting up mushrooms, he'll tell you, that beer is phenomenal. And it's so good, he gets it shipped out there. Which is funny, because I bet so many people I know move out to the West Coast, and you know, when they're here on the East Coast, they're like, oh, I just need to get out of here. I can't stand this place. Then they move out to the West Coast, and all they do is talk about how it was on the East Coast. You know, I'm just busting balls. That's the truth, man. People do that shit all the time. I love when people move out from the West Coast to the East Coast. It's the exact same thing. We talk about how much, back where I was from, or back in L.A., or back in San Francisco, or in Washington State. Let me tell you what I did. Brother, you're on the East Coast. It's fine. We don't care. It's good. Just enjoy yourself. Have a great time. Pour yourself a cocktail. Grab a Montauk. That's right. Hopefully, I should get those boys in this program, because they're really cool guys. We had them on the Edible on the Road show. I guess about 2 years ago now, and I got to get them back because they're great people. So anyway, I want to kick this monologue off a little bit tonight with something that was came across me, my mind, my brain, in a phone call this afternoon I had. And it was funny because we've all thought about it as chefs. You know, we've all thought about it as culinarians, as people in the world of food. But, you know, there's sometimes, I think there's different degrees of it, but when you go to a restaurant or you eat out someplace, you kind of are slightly apprehensive I don't really know the words. Like, and in this conversation, the gentleman was telling me, he was like, listen, as a chef, is it hard? Because you go out and just judge everybody and think that you're better and think that, and I'm like, well, no, I certainly don't. With restaurant road trip and stuff, so you meet so many great chefs in this world who are amazing and great at what they do and make amazing food. It's not really a competition to me. But if anything, I think that I have a little apprehension about it, almost like an insecurity about it, you know? And I think that the natural defense to that is to, you know, is to kind of be a little standoffish to it. I try really hard not to be that. And it's really, sometimes it's not always easy, but you can go to some of these, you know, small restaurants in your town or whatnot, and you just know that it's not as good as it could be. You know, and it's because it's like a magic show, I think, what we do as chefs. We want everyone to enjoy the show, right? It'd be like going to Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. The circus isn't around anymore. Let's change that. It'd be like watching David Blaine, but knowing how he does everything. And it's not really that entertaining anymore, right? Does that make sense? But I don't know. I think it's actually generational. I think that's where it comes from, because I know a lot of chefs who, younger chefs specifically, who, you know, they've been in the business 5 or 6 years, 8 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever. And they're just very judgmental of other people's food. Just very judgmental. Oh, that's not the right way you make a beurre blanc. That's not how I would make it. Or look, that's not how I would sear that scallop. Or that's not how I would do this. You know, I think it becomes more, I don't know, it's negativity. We work in an industry that's already full of negativity. Why would you add more to it? That's what I don't understand. It's tough. I understand that. And listen, we can all have judgments on food. I'm not saying that you shouldn't like or dislike or, you know, something like that. It's just, I don't know if it's worth the conversation, though. I mean, I think a lot of times that stuff goes, you know, said on its own. You don't have to say it. You don't have to say, you know what, I can make this better, or this, I'm better than this guy. Or maybe you are, you know, maybe you are better than them. Maybe you're not. In the end, you're a guest at their restaurant. You chose to go there. Stop being so judgy. Just eat the food. Sorry, I was choking there. Just eat the food and enjoy it. And it's tough as a chef, though, because we do look at food, and we look at it from a different point of view. We look at it from a different angle. It's really interesting to me to get into that, kind of the whole, like, psychological feel of that. Because is it an insecurity, or is it a superiority complex? Is it do you legitimately just think that you're better, and it means so much that you have to tell everybody? You have to, like, tell yourself that? I just don't understand it. Like, I don't see what is to gain from doing that. I think as chefs, if we all work together, we can all make a better, you know, industry for everybody. And if you think about it like this, it's interesting, because we've all gone to events with lots of chefs, whether it's a local food competition, a fundraising sort of event, or maybe it's a television show, whatever it is that you've done. You meet other chefs, and immediately at first, you're kind of, you know, you're kind of standoffish, you're kind of looking at each other up and down, you're trying to figure each other out. And generally by the end, I'm speaking very general now, I'm not saying everyone, but generally by the end, you're friends with these people and you hang out with them. I mean, hell, I was hanging out with Mark Fichito, and he's awful. He's just terrible. But I love the guy. He's a great chef, man. And we were hanging out tasting hot sauces together, along with some other great chefs. You know, you look at guys like who have, you know, a modicum of success doing television world or doing, you know, and in restaurants, i.e. someone like a Chris Santos, for instance. I was just at his restaurant and we were there doing the hot sauce judging. And, you know, this guy, he's still a great cook, man. But, you know, I think that you walk in there, it's almost like you feel like you have to prove something, to almost say like, hey, I'm good too. And it's not really even about that. I think you get a lot more respect from other chefs from the industry if you just kind of go in and, one, you're respectful. Hey, chef, thanks for having us. This is great. You know, saying things like that. Complimenting the food, of course, chef, this is delicious. You know, things like that. As opposed to going in and feeling like, you know what, listen, I think that I can make this better, or wow, I wish you would have put a little more seasoning on this, or yeah, just anything like that. I think it's important to just understand that everyone's different, I think, is the key. I think it's important to kind of go in and understand that everyone has a place, everyone has a role. There's plenty of people out there for us all to feed. You don't need to feel like you have to go in and have that. But I also understand that it could be a little bit of a insecurity with you. You know, you kind of, you don't know what else to do. So everyone's looking at you. So you feel like, well, maybe I should be the one who says, hey, this isn't as good, or hey, I can do a better job than this. I don't know. Like, I think it's something that if we all could try to do it a little bit differently, it would make a better industry. Listen, we are the people in this industry who are going to push it into the next, you know, millennium, push this industry into the next, you know, even the next decade. We have younger people working underneath of us. We have to set the example. And I think setting the example of going in and running some chef up and down because you didn't like the way that they made their beurre blanc, or you didn't like the way that they rolled pasta, or you didn't like the way that they made a scotch egg, it doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't teach them anything, right? And I think we have a responsibility. You heard me talking about this on the other week on this program. Like, I think we have a responsibility as chefs to teach people. I think that's a role that we have. When I was on Brian Duffy's show, he asked me what it meant. And I said, I think as a chef, we're teachers. And it's important. You know, it's important to be a teacher. It's important to show the younger generation of this business things. So I don't know. That's my two cents on it. I think I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to have a roundtable next week with a couple of chefs. I think we're going to bring this up because it's interesting to me. I'd love to know other takes from other chefs on this exact subject. Is it one of those things where it's more about the insecurity of being around other chefs, or is it more about, you know, you feel like you just need to show you're better than them? I don't get it. So try it next time you go out to eat. When you go out to a restaurant, you go to another chef's place. You know, maybe it's not your buddy, or it's just another restaurant you're going to go eat and check out. Try not to be so judgy. Go in there and go in there with an open mind and understand that everyone's different. There's different skill levels. You know, just because you've graduated from culinary school and you've been working in the business for 3 years, one, you have no business judging anybody, to keep your mouth shut. But two, it doesn't accomplish anything. All you're doing is showing that you're young in the business. I think I find it more with older chefs who have 20, 25 years experience or more, aren't nearly as bad about that. And it's true, because I think it's become how I am with it. So let's talk about it next week. I think it's a great roundtable to have with some other chefs and find out what they think. The psychology of our business just rocks my mind every time I think about it. It's almost like, do you really want to go down that rabbit hole? Because it's a long way to get back up. I know, we are weird people, broken band of pirates, lost boys, whatever you want to call it. That's exactly what we are who work in this business. But there is one person who I think would fit very, very well in our broken band of lost boys and girls. My guest tonight, Marisol Castro, is so much fun to talk to. She is the host of a brand new show called Somos. I can't wait to talk about that with her. I watched it again. It's so good. The clip that she's got up, it's so fun to watch. And her golf game is phenomenal. I can't wait to talk about that. But, you know, immediately when you guys see on her Instagram, I have to bring up the fact she calls herself chef, because you know how I feel about that. And I get very, very, you know, touchy about it a little bit, just a little bit. Let's play a tune. Let me get my ducks in a row, pour myself another cocktail so we can get on with this interview and talk to Marisol. I'm very excited to talk to her. I'm happy she's here. She's awesome. Should be a lot of fun. So listen, if you haven't done so yet, this is the third time I'm staying here in the open, but please throw a rating, subscribe, all those things. It helps with the algorithm. It's amazing. It's doing really, really well. We have more subscribers now than we've ever had. And it's a lot of fun. I love doing the show and hanging out with you guys every Monday night. So please, if you think of something to do for 2 seconds, you need something to do, just do that. Just go in there and give your boy a 5-star. I'd appreciate it. I really would. In the meantime, guys, stay right there. I'm going to play a quick tune for you, and we'll be right back here with Marisol Castro. Stay tuned, guys. Be right back.
I keep a photograph of you upon my wall. The beach in winter on the island says it all. Oh, 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 those days were gold. Oh, 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 we didn't know. We stole your father's. first car you didn't know how to drive. Touched down on the edge of town, we made it out alive. Oh, 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 the setting sun. Staring at the stars, the only lights connecting me to where you are. Oh, 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 where have you gone? Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we said
favorite New York-based artist and alumni of this program, the one and only Ryan Starr. Spoke to him on the phone today, as a matter of fact. Great guy. Got a big news coming up with Spotify and Station Head with our good friend Ryan Starr. We're going to be announcing a brand new show. It's going to be once a month happening in Brooklyn. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to tell Mary all about that, because I think she'd love to come and hang out with us. Should be a lot of fun. Anyway, guys, check it out. I'm still laughing. I just got told that this is my big market voice, which made me laugh a lot. There's people that you meet in this business and in your life, whether it's work or whether it's through friends or through other people you know, who you just talk to, and you know, maybe it's not someone you talk to every day, but when you do talk to them, you know they're a great person, they're fun, and you just kind of want to keep talking to them more. The kind of person who walks into a room and immediately the entire room looks at them because they control the room when they walk in. That's a quality that I really, really wish that I had as much as my guest right now, the one and only Marisol Castro. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I ran out of air there. Did you hear can it? Officially become my publicist. Holy smokes.
Not bad,
thank
right?
Thank you so much, Plum. Wow, that was really
I totally
cool.
ran out of air at the end there. That was the bad part.
Listen, if you're going to have a big market voice, you got to know how to speak to
right.
the diaphragm. And I
that's right. ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to my. I'm sitting straight up too. I'm very nice and prim and proper, but I think it goes more with the vodka than anything else.
Is that what you're drinking?
It is. And I'm going to explain to you why really quick, all right? And then we'll get on to you and tell you. But, honestly, so I turned 40 in March. I think we've talked about that.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, you got
happy
you ignored
birthday.
The birthday invite. Yeah, you ignored the party invite.
I never
anyway,
got one, so don't even play yourself.
So I love beer. I drink beer because I love beer. Like, I really do love beer. I appreciate the art behind beer. I appreciate everything about beer. Here's the problem, Mary Sol. Yeah. I'll drink 94 of them, right?
Not 95, not 93, but 94. Got it.
Yeah, that's not. I'm not an animal. Let's not get crazy. But it's my body doesn't process it quite like it did when I was 25.
That's
so
what
I get calories. Is, yeah, enough for yeah. a small country. So I had to stop, and I said I was stopped for the summer. I didn't say I stopped drinking. I would stop drinking beer. And I'm hoping it'll
Fine.
Make a difference because yeah. Yeah, I literally have an ass like Beyonce now. I don't even know what to do with myself. I can't fit in my Prius anymore. It's uncomfortable for everybody.
listen, for you and your vodka. Yeah.
Thank you. Somos is phenomenal. I just watched it again. That's up on Facebook, and it's so good. You are so easy to talk to. You're so smooth. I think even in real life you are, and then it comes across so well. I think more than ever, if anything else I've seen that you do on Somos, how easy you want to talk to. Is that kind of always been your thing?
I think so. Well, first of all, thank you very much. It was really was a project that I've been sitting on for quite some time, and just found the best crew ever to shoot it for me. Ryan and Dan and Micah, and shout out to them and Griff. That is the part of the production company called Full Send, and I think you know them as well. And
I know one of them.
So you think you know one of them, right? but it was just a project that I've always had in the back of my head and wanted to do. And you know, like I say, I'm a recovering journalist because I'm just really nosy, is what it comes down to. So I like to listen to people and find out about their lives. So for me, I'm always looking for the why, and you can diffuse anything with comedy. I find humans interesting, whether they're mean, whether they're kind, or anything in between. And I always try to find some sort of commonality with any human I meet. And with Javier Colon, it was super easy. So you know, it turns out when you do this thing for 20 years, like if you don't know how to do it, like if you don't know how to ask a question, 20 years later. Three different networks, like, come on, sister, what are you doing?
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
So.
Right. But I think it goes beyond that, though, because I watch these guys, even like these guys in these other networks and stuff, like, it definitely goes beyond that. And with you, when you're talking to people, you're very, very comfortable. And I have firsthand experience with that, even doing television with you at one point. But
that's right. We did CT style. Yeah.
We did. But talk about the whole idea behind it and kind of what the show is based on and what the thoughts are behind it. Because it's interesting how it's just you and you're telling a story about someone else. I love that.
Thank you. It's I mean, it's essentially, there are no bells and whistles. It is just a profile show. And I am highlighting Latinos. And some people are like, well, why Latinos? And I'm like, well, why not? A couple of years ago, why not? A couple of years ago, I shot a pilot for a bilingual talk show, and it went pretty far up the ranks through NBC. And then I lost out to Meredith Vieira, and I was like, damn, if I have to lose out to anyone else, fine, I'll lose out to her. Damn her, Meredith. And then her show got canceled anyway. Love you, Meredith.
Yeah.
the idea to do something that just highlighted Latinos I'm Puerto Rican. My parents were born and raised in Puerto Rico. I'm the youngest of four siblings, and my culture is incredibly important to me. So the timing was wrong back then. It was 2013.
Right.
And so, you know, this year happened, and I just thought, I got to just do this thing. Let me just do it. And I surrounded myself with really generous people. And when I called folks and said, hey, I'd like to interview you. They were like, sure, whenever you want. And that really shocked me that I would pick up the phone or I'd email someone and they'd say anything for you, Mike. So I was like, really? So I think that speaks to just, you know, again, being in this business for nearly 20 years, I always held myself to a very high standard and always maintained integrity and always maintained really good relationships with people. So someone said to me, well, what's going to make this different than any other profile show that exists? And I was like, because of me, because I think I bring my own perspective. You know, I know how to ask a question. And I think the other important thing is that you and I see plenty of folks in the entertainment industry, in news, and no one really listens. Like, I watch some folks who I respect, and even they hiccup sometimes, and I'm like, but you're not listening to your to the person who's right in front of you that you're speaking to. And so for me, listening is super important. And then I just like to have
fun. It's like they're just waiting for their turn to talk is what they're doing.
Makes me crazy. Makes me nuts. Yeah.
And it makes me crazy too when you do an interview with somebody. Well, when you do an interview with somebody, and if I ask, like, if I'm interviewing you on camera and I ask you a question, and then you turn and look at the camera and answer it, no, talk to me.
Don't break the fourth wall, right? I'm right here.
Oh God.
Here I am.
Oh God. But no, I and you talked about the Meredith Vieira thing, and it's funny you should say that, because she comes across to me, and I'm saying this, you're not, but she comes across to me as exactly the opposite of how I would describe you when you're doing this. You're very personable. you are listening. No, I'm serious. Like, you, it comes across as very easy to talk to. I feel like, watch Meredith Vieira. Next time you watch Meredith Vieira, and just feel like she's always looking at the clock. That's what I feel like she's doing. She's constantly looking at the clock.
Well, you know what? I will tell you this, though. You know, when you work in hard news, and look, Good Morning America, when I worked there back in 2004 to 2010, it was a very different show. And
right.
So we did a lot of hard news. And you also have, you know, the earpiece in. And there is constantly a voice saying, okay, rap, hard rap, shut up. You know, so you have to really balance speaking clearly on camera while you have someone constantly
for sure.
yelling in your ear. So that takes a special kind of talent. I know firsthand, because one of my first jobs was doing traffic from a helicopter. For
oh my
Pitt.
God.
And yes, it was, I threw up for the first month. Every time we landed, puke bag, done. It was a wrap. And I hated it. Oh my gosh, with a passion. But I had an executive producer who, you know, one day on air, I don't know, maybe I was hungover, who the hell knows. I'm on air, I'm doing the traffic, I'm doing breaking news. Yeah, and she goes, I don't know, no idea. But she says, she got in my ear and she said, I don't care what happened to you last night. I don't care if your mother died. I don't care if your dog died. This is morning television and you need to smile. And I was just like, oh my God. And so my next live hit, she proceeded to yell in my ear the entire time just to test me. So I've had some pretty brutal training ground, but you know, it's filled me with the chutzpah to do what I do now. So, you know, if Meredith Vieira feels like she's got this ticking clock in her head, she probably does, you know, because it's tough not to look at the clock and say, all right, we have a commercial break in 30 seconds. Get your question out fast.
But you know how some people just kind of have that faith. Like, in my mind, like, you're a sports fan too. So, I feel like every time I look at Eli Manning, he's trying to figure out, like, where his next dance class is. Like, that's his face. He's like, wait.
Well, poor
what am
Eli
I doing?
Has very, like, very tough year, right?
Oh, that's
speaking
for
of,
sure.
Speaking
I know.
Of sports, I was just checking the Yankees score. They're still up 12-1. Oh, they won 12-1. Whew.
There you go.
And
it's funny, though, because
the stadium.
Oh, see, I'm not a baseball fan. I can't watch it. There's too many games.
You're not,
baseball
what's
would
your,
be awesome.
What is your
football? I am a big football and hockey
and your
fan.
Team?
That's my two things. Yep. Steelers.
Who are your teams?
You
don't
Steelers
say.
Or Penguins. Yep,
you
yep,
don't.
Yep.
Well, my brother-in-law Mark Didio played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's wide receiver, and he's listening, so I'm sure he's like, "What's up, Mark Didio?"
Nice.
Not,
so I'm
not
good friends.
Not the Mark Didio. He's like, "I'll Google him." My family, huge, huge Steeler fans. I am a Giants fan.
This is why you're good people.
Since
this day
one.
Why you're good people.
Exactly, exactly.
I was fortunate enough to have become friends with Greta and Art Rooney, and I used to go to training camp every year. I haven't been, I didn't go last year, but I go to training camp every year and, like, hang out. And just unbelievable people, just great organization, just, I don't know, everything about it. Like, it's just, I love it. It's awesome. And I love hockey. I love playoff hockey. Hockey's great. But... you know, you come from the Steelers family.
Yeah, I do. The terrible towel. I have like four terrible towels in my linen closet that become like washcloths.
I should text you a picture right now how many are hanging up at the bar. But it's funny because the sports is definitely a thing in your life too, because you spent some time at ESPN, right?
I did. I was Gosh, I worked there for 2 years. I covered boxing and Little League World Series, and I did some big events for them. I did the Invictus Games. Little known fact, I was there when Prince Harry met Meghan Markle. And who would have known that they would go off to, you know, get engaged? But it was a great, great run. And I, as I like to say, I was unceremoniously let go with 3,000 of my other friends one fateful afternoon last April. But, you know, I harbor no resentment. I mean, I remember getting the call and I saw, I left the gym and I knew that layoffs were happening that day. And I saw the name and I was like, all right, here we go. And they're like, we love you. It's just, you know, we got to make cuts. And I said, cool. I totally get it. Good luck and Godspeed. So,
well, you never know. We never know. They may call you back though. You know, you never know who will call you back. You never know what will happen the next day. That's the tough part about this business. It's really tough to kind of, you know, then go and publicly shit on, you're pissed about things, but you don't want to go shit on somebody because who knows what happens tomorrow.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's show biz. It's not show friends. So I don't take it personally. I really, really don't. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you never know when you come back. Like I said, one of my first jobs in television was being the traffic reporter up in Air 11. I left there and 10 years later, 12 years later, I was back, you know, anchoring the morning show. So thank God I didn't have to go back in the helicopter, but you know, it's
Pixel 11 is definitely like it's a cool station too. I think I always thought of, you know, Pix as kind of being, especially here in the New York area, it's kind of like, I don't know, geared towards younger people, a little bit hipper, a little bit cooler than kind of watching it someplace else. That was what was in my head. Is that real or am I making that up?
No, it is not just in your head. It was, it was growing up, it was Pix. You could call in and they had this like video game and you called and there was some guy on the other end of the line who was pressing a button, you know, maybe he was, maybe. And every time you said Pix, it was like a kind of like a Space Invaders game. And then, of course, the Yule log around Christmas. So
right.
Pix is like definitely the hometown station. Absolutely. For sure.
We were trying to reach out and get Restaurant Road Trip to do a New York kind of spin and try to see if we could get Pix to go on board with us. But I don't think we ever heard back from anybody.
Let me handle it, all right? I'll make a few phone calls for you. Okay?
Oh, there you go. Well, let's finish this first because you might not want to after I get done with you. You might hate me. I think one of the things that I find most interesting about you is that in your Instagram bio, you call yourself a chef. Now, from my research, and I believe it or not, I do research people, and it's weird. So when you see like your name being typed in, I know that you worked in a restaurant. You grew up. You worked at some restaurants, and you were a really shitty server.
Terrible.
Is that the only restaurant job you ever had, or have you done more?
I spilled an entire dish of fra diavola on the owner's best friend. only to be rivaled by then spilling a tray of White Russians on some other guests, and yet they invited me back. I'm a disaster. I'm a complete disaster. Well, I would like the record to show. I believe the verbiage is aspiring chef, I think.
Oh, fairly certain. All right.
Aspiring.
Because I just want to check.
Right?
I just want to check because I've seen every episode of ER.
I
watched the first four seasons of Grey's Anatomy. House, I watched all of them. No, I'm pretty sure, like, I could definitely deliver a baby. I could perform. I could do breast implants. I used to watch those. I could do like a appendectomy if we had to. I could do one of those tracheotomies.
Right.
So I might as well be a doctor. That's what I'm thinking.
Why not?
Sure.
Chef Plum MD.
That's it.
Oh my gosh. Chef Plum MD. That sounds god awful.
Awful.
You know, I was a waitress at, let's see, 1, 2, 3 restaurants. And not very good at all. Not very good. That's terrible.
I just captured that to make it your ringtone from now on. It's just you going, I'm not very good.
I'm not very good.
But it's funny that because of your experience, though, being Puerto Rican, a fantastic food, amazing food there. I'm sure you grew up with amazing food. Yeah. And but also when you would host, TV shows like CT Style and whatnot, I'm sure you had to sit through some food segments. I mean, obviously we're not going to call anybody out, but I know that there had to be some incredibly awkward segments that you went through doing food, right?
I will not name names, but I will tell you there was a segment and there was Kugel involved. Some people call it Kugel. Some people call it Kugel.
Kugel.
It's, Kugel.
Very Jewish.
Right. That's exactly normally served around Rosh Hashanah.
Sure. Makes total sense.
Exactly. And I tried it. And, sometimes on live television, we just have to act. We just have to dig down deep. And I ate it and I looked down after during the commercial break and my sister texted me and she said, "How was that?" And I said, "I nearly threw up in my mouth." And she was like, "Well, it didn't look like that."
Well, perfect.
So, yeah. So remember that time you came on CT Style and you made Kugel?
You didn't like my Kugel? I thought for sure. I mean, I don't know. It's definitely, I do Jewish cuisine, blue hair, it makes a lot of sense. So it's funny because I've gotten to where you made a comment earlier about, funny is always a way to go. And that's kind of become my staple when I do television segments. And I am getting to a point, don't worry. It's, listen, I don't have much else going for me. I'm a fat dude that makes dick jokes and has blue hair. That's about all I got. That's it. But sometimes being funny, that's all you're getting, dude. Zombie apocalypse. We're dead. Yeah, that's all we're getting. But it's gotten to where now I make a point to make it awkward and funny. That's what I try to do on these segments. For instance, the last time I did a segment with our friend Ryan, I brought a power drill. Right. And I made him put it in a watermelon and beat the water. Yeah. To beat the watermelon up because I knew it would be hysterical. First of all, he has no idea how to use a power drill. Second of all, I made him wear this apron and look ridiculous. Like the whole thing was just supposed to be funny. And it's mission accomplished. It worked. So when you're experienced in doing this stuff,
awkward.
Yeah. Yes. And the whole time, Teresa, just all she does is take steps as far away off camera as she can get. Like it's really funny to watch. Anyway,
was this on CT Style?
Yeah. They don't even ask what I make anymore. But for you, what are some tips you would give people? Like, what would you ask people to say? Like, when they come in to do a segment, if they're going to do a segment with you, or if they're going to be on your show, or like, what are some tips you would give them? Because you have so much experience doing live TV.
Yeah, I always tell, my thing is I meet people where they are, right? So some people come in and they have humongous personalities, and I am happy to let them shine and be as big and as boisterous as they want to be. And some people are incredibly timid. And I just meet them where they are. And I always try to make it a point of talking to people at least for a minute or two, obviously if you have more time, just so that they know like, oh, you're a human being, because that little red light above the camera does crazy things to people. And some people suddenly clam up. So I just say, listen, when you cut me, I bleed red too, and we're going to talk like we've known each other forever. And like you, I try to do research. Obviously, you can't always get every last morsel of research about every person you talk to, for every person you interview. But going back to why I did Somos, we're all humans, right? So we all have some sort of commonality, and then just listening to them. Some people are just going to be nervous, and they're going to clam up, and that's going to be a really short segment, and there ain't shit you can do about it. But And some people will totally monopolize a conversation, and you have to know how to very gracefully interject and say, "And we're out of time now, but thank you so much. Great pleasure talking to you."
We're out of time.
It was a great.
I know
question.
It's not.
So great.
I want to tell you one more hysterical, stupid story. Just a really funny, quick story. So I used to do Channel 3 here in Connecticut all the time, right? And they asked me if I would do the weekend show, and I was like, "All right, I'll do it." And I've actually become really good friends with Kim, who was there. She's in Boston now, but So. The first time I did Kim Lucy's show, we met, we shook hands. She's younger, she's fun. It was a Halloween show. I was dressed up as Dodgeball, me and my sous chef, right? And she had no idea what she was in for. Yeah, and we had like four or five different little things for Halloween. I was doing my whole Vince Vaughn gimmick. The segment started, and I turned it up to 100, and I didn't give her a chance to speak for 5 minutes. I just talked the entire time. She was belly laughing so hard, she had to walk off camera, and I had to close the segment.
No.
out. It
no.
was the best thing that's ever happened. And she was like, you are the worst and best thing I've ever been with. And but if something like that happens, I mean, how do you, your experience, how would you handle that? Would you say, okay, you know, let's just let it go? Or would you try to jump in? Or, you know,
it's organic. It's completely organic. You see where it's going to go,
yeah.
You know, and again, you know, I think with someone like you, if you're out there being crazy, you know, you could do one of two things with crazy. You either join crazy or you watch crazy from afar, but you can't fight crazy with crazy. So
you step away.
step away from the crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big believer of things happening organically. And again, anchors and people in on TV tend to have those earpieces, and so when the voice is telling you, okay,
right.
you have 5 minutes to do this, you sort of figure out, okay, we're going to do this thing in 5 minutes and or not. So each situation is completely different, you know. You did, and that's one of the things I love about live television. You never know what
yeah.
the heck is going to happen. Never, ever,
right.
ever, for better or worse, mind you.
But you doing some of these big shows, like the early show, like Good Morning America. Was there a lot of space
yeah,
for
yeah.
that? Was there a lot of room for that? Or did it just kind of, was it very, very,
it's
you know, scripted almost? I don't want to say scripted,
stringent.
But you know, outline, like, here's how we go. Blocks, here we're
yeah,
A, block
yeah,
A, block
no,
B,
you know,
block B, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, there were obviously parameters. And look, when you're doing weather, you had like 30 seconds or 45 seconds. And you get to the weather, and before you know it, you're, you know, tossing to the affiliate. When I did more of my feature stuff, and they're like, okay, you have 2 minutes and you're out in the middle of Times Square talking to perfect strangers. Again, sometimes you'll talk to someone and they were suddenly, you know, they were so garrulous during the commercial break, and now suddenly the red light is on and they're looking at you like, you know, you have 10 heads.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah.
it's,
That's so
each
true.
Situation is kind of different. But they, you know, both GMA and CBS were very different. You know, the early show, I was there when they were going through such a tumultuous change that it was kind of, we were all kind of like, we were all deer in the headlight, you know, headlights trying to
yeah.
figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Oh, wait, who's our boss today? Oh, wait, that producer's gone. So that was kind of like, it wasn't scripted. They never told us what to say, but you kind of, you got in, you got out, goodbye, see you later.
Your dad, did your dad work in radio? Is that what I was reading?
No, my dad was a bus driver. But Javier's father, Javier, who's in the first episode.
Yeah, yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
His father worked in radio. So Javier's got music in his genes. And my dad was just
now
a bus driver.
Sense. Yeah, your dad.
Now you see it.
Well, right on. Well,
he
so
was a bus
back
driver.
Somos,
I flew in a helicopter.
That's close enough. But back to Somos, though. So
exactly.
What's the long-term plan with it? Are we going to do stay online with it? Because the world, I mean, it's one of the things we talk about in this program a lot is how much mm-hmm. the world of even food television, but in general, television is changing. I mean, it's just, even, what was it? A bunch of third-tier networks got bought up today by was it Discovery or one of those, like, one of the bigger groups bought up like three or four of those third-tier networks. And it happens nonstop because no one really watches TV anymore because we all walk around with these, you know, 5-inch televisions in our pockets and we all want to watch short form content. I mean, is that the plan with Somos or are you trying to take it someplace bigger?
That's exactly right. I mean, I think because there are so many different options to watch programming. I won't even say television anymore because to your point, very few people have appointment television other than my mother who watches, you know, Caso Cerrado, which is a show on Spanish language television and Wheel of Fortune. No one watches television like that anymore. So Wheel of Fortune and what's the other one with Alex Trebek? Jeopardy. It's hysterical because she watches it with my two children and it's pretty funny. They yell at the TV like it's the brain trust. So the plan.
But wait,
is,
I gotta ask you though. Does she watch these two shows and like watch them in English and yell at them in Spanish?
Yes, she. She will. Yes, she. It's like Spanglish. Like, you know, she'll get an answer wrong, and you know, she'll say contra, which means shucks in Spanish or whatever. And you know, my children look at her like, yeah, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But yes, she. my family, I would go out on a limb. We talk back to the television. Someone made a comment that that's like a Latino thing. Like you can't watch a show with a Latino because we yell back at the TV, which may or may not be true. I don't know. I've never really done that experiment, but I definitely talk back to the television, which drives people crazy sometimes, but oh well, that's just me.
What a great show. What a great show, though. It was just a show where it hung out with different cultures watching television to see how they reacted to it.
And I think kind of how they react. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be kind of fun.
I think we have another. We may have germinated an idea for our friends over at Fulton.
That's right.
Look,
I grew up down south. I grew up down south in Virginia, and all my people yell at the TV as if the TV even talks back to them. Like it's crazy. They make no sense. They're yelling and stuff. I never heard that word in my life, Alex. What are you talking about? Like he made that word up. That's not even like Alex Trebek's not writing the questions. Like he's just a dude. Oh. Hell, Alex, he's the smartest man I ever met in my life. What? You never met him? Well, I see him on TV. It's crazy.
That's the good. Can you please do an episode of Restaurant Road Trip in that accent? I would pay you $1 if you did.
Well, it's funny because I was a theater major in college, and the second you do theater, I was in acting. They mm-hmm. beat your accent out of you. And if you get me drunk enough, it comes out.
Oh, honey, let me tell you something. No. It's not just theater, because in television too, they beat that New York out of me I can't even begin to tell you. And it comes, obviously it comes out every now and again.
Sure.
My oldest son will say, like, I'll say something, he'll say something, I'll respond back and he'll be like, okay, New York. I'm like, watch. because you know, you want to sound like you're from nowhere.
Right.
And I've had to work very hard. I'm not, you know, sounding like I'm from nowhere, but I'm relatively successful. I think.
No, I think you've done pretty well for yourself, for sure. You've done a lot of different things, and it's a great segue into what do you think's been? Well, how about this? Not what has been, but what's the goal? What's the end game here for you? What are you trying to accomplish? Or is it kind of a fluid thing and you don't know? Like today, it's one thing; tomorrow, it's something different.
it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think, you know, Somos is really, it's like I mentioned, said I posted it on LinkedIn. It's my life's work. Which is to take my experience as a journalist, my experience as a woman, as a mother, as a friend, as a daughter, as a partner, and really use that to give voice to people that don't. And so, you know, I've had such a great career with ups and downs and twists and turns, and it's definitely not been, you know, a straight path. And the end game is to continue to create shows that are like Somos, not specifically highlighting just Latinos, but to put myself in a position where I am in charge of the development of shows, you know, because as Somos, I created the show and I was obviously the host for it, but I also wrote it. You know, the only thing I can't do is edit. Turns out I can produce, I can write, I can talk on air, I can walk and chew gum. I can't edit. And that's why they have actual categories at the Academy Awards for best editing. building my tribe, my team of people who will create content that is really good. Because to your point, people don't watch programming the way our parents still do or did, you know, we're all looking at our phones. So I've got a lot more shows in me. One of them is a cooking show. You know, the things I love, I love to eat. I love sports and I love my culture. So
these things are all great. Hey, why don't we do it together?
Things,
I've been talking about starting my own network for a while now. You want to do it?
Let's do it. Let's go find some rich folks and dig in their pockets.
Let's
talk
offline.
Can we do that?
We should talk offline. But it's one of those things. I'm saying that as a to you and not as a joke, but in general and jest. But it's something that we've actually toyed with is doing our own network because the world is changing. I've had three big meetings recently, and all of them are just you know, in the television world, like, development's different now. It's not the same thing it used to be. It used to be, hey, if you're great, you have a great concept and you have a bit of a following, it's pretty much a no-brainer at that point. But it's not the same anymore because no one's watching. No one cares.
Nope.
Food Network, I talk about it all the time on this program. I talk to you offline about it. I'm sure you probably know too, they had so much trouble. And I think it was like 18 people just got fired there because Discovery just took them over. Because it's just, they had no digital plan. No one watched
scripts, that we were talking about. Yes. Mm-hmm. My former employer, ESPN. I mean, it's the landscape has completely changed. And I think, you know, a lot of folks will say, well, I'm making content, or we need content, or this content. This is what I've learned having dabbled in the digital media space last summer. There is a shitload of content floating around the world.
Sure.
3/4 of it is really bad. So,
yes.
And maybe the people listening are going to be like, who the hell does she think she is? Someone who knows bad content. I've been a part of really good content, and I've been a part of really bad content. So, you know, and when you get plucked by some pretty powerful people in media, which I was very fortunate to be plucked by people like Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters and folks like that, they train you so that you go out and do really good things. And so, you know, programming has changed. Content has changed. I happen to think Somos is really good. I'm sure there are tons of people that are like, oh, please, that sucks. And that's okay. I'm okay with that because you can't please everybody. But yes, let's create a show together.
You can't please everybody, but and it's not true. It actually is very, very good. I've watched it 3 times now, and I just watched it again before we talked, and it's great. And one of the things I love the most, and I think it's one of the reasons we get along, is that you make it comfortable for people, and I think that's what's important. I think being comfortable allows people to talk to you, want to talk to you more, and I try really hard to do that and be normal. Don't be something that you're not. Just be normal. Be a dude. Be Marisol. Be Chef Plum. Just be your person.
Yeah.
And talk to them, and
that's exactly
sometimes
right.
it's not gonna always be right, but that's okay. Don't hide it. That's not right, you know. I mean, when you said funny is always an answer. I mean, I've always said that funny is funny and will always be funny. I mean, funny is always the way to go. Look at every end of restaurant road trip. The episode coming out here very soon. We were at Killer Bee's in Norwalk, and I had two nurses take me out on a gurney because I ate too much bacon and bourbon. Like it's just stupid. Like. It's funny, right?
But it worked. It's a grand diffuser. I agree.
That's it. That's all it is right there. So with you, with Somos, how many episodes do we get?
Hopefully a lot. It turns out there are an infinite number of Latinos out there that I can profile. And what's so funny is like the response on social media has been so funny. Like, yo, ma. You gotta come to Kelowna, Queens. I got the guy at the spot, and I'm like, okay. I got the guy at the bodega over in Corona, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Sure. And you know what? I don't poo-poo. I do not poo-poo any of it. You know, at the end of the day, the show is meant to entertain, and so right now, putting ducks in order to get financing to, you know, book more people to interview.
Yeah.
I've got a Rolodex full of names and numbers and people who are like, Marty, just tell me when. And, you know, but these things aren't free. So you got to.
Is that something we can talk about for 1 second? Because that's the interesting.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part. I want to just for 1 second to talk about that. I know it's kind of a sensitive subject. We don't have to get deep into it, but it's something that people, I think, should understand. That to make content that's great, like Somos, or content that's, you know, like Restaurant Roach, it costs money. Like you have
like
to have money
trip,
to do it. You have to have money to do it. Like these guys aren't going to work for free. Anybody who's good isn't going to work for free. They just know the business. It's not going to happen.
Correct. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, I think you have to invest your own, but you also, you know, again, I'll go back to having done this for 20 years. You ask for favors, you know, you do say like, you know, we shot in that beautiful studio. Oh, and the name slips me right now, but you know, that was Ryan knew the guy, and this is this is massive production. This is a, like, serious people have recorded in the studio. And I think when you comport yourself with, you know, professionalism, people remember that, right? They remember having made, you know, how you made them feel. And so that for me is always important, because I've always been kind to folks, whether you helping me with my wardrobe at Good Morning America, or whether, you know, you were the top dog on the red carpet at the Oscar, whatever, whomever it was, I always treated people equally. And people remember that, so that when you call them back and say, hi, it's Maddie, they're like, hey, what do you need? So that, I think, goes a long way too. But yeah, you know, it cracks me up when I see the term Instagram model. I'm like, that's curious.
Oh, for God's sake.
Instagram model. And I don't knock any, I do not knock anyone's hustle. I don't knock anyone's hustle. Just don't get in my way. So,
right.
So
well, let me just look. Don't get in your way.
Oh, I want to have a show. And I'm like, okay,
yes, everybody,
well,
yeah. Everybody does. But here's the problem with it is that you have some guys who go on, and this is something I've been going on about for about 3 weeks now in this program. People are so tired of fucking hearing it. But I'm not mentioning a person by name, but I'm talking about a specific person, a chef, who, like, mm-hmm. you know, look, the world of the chef world has completely changed. I mean, now I talk about it all the time. And, you know, I had a client that I did out in West Hampton this past Friday night before she would hire me, wanted to know what my Instagram following was. It's just the way the world works now.
No.
But, oh, swear to God.
No. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you have these people now who will go and do Chopped, and then call, then they'll immediately, once the they'll go out the second round, and then they'll immediately change their Instagram profile to public figure. And then they start thinking that they're like this big celebrity person. So, well, I'm not getting enough likes. I better buy some followers to make that happen. So they do that. And then they start reaching out to companies to get sponsorship for something that they don't even have. And so when the company finds out it's all bullshit and fake, they won't listen to anybody else. People like myself and you who are actually hustling, trying to make things happen. These people are fucking it up for everybody. And there's one guy in particular who it's on the tip of my tongue, you guys. One of these days, it's going to come out of my mouth. And the guy follows me. I know he listens to this program. He is a complete bag of rocks. He has no idea I'm talking about him. But
nice.
It makes me crazy.
Let me tell you
it
really
makes
feel.
Me. Oh, don't get. Oh, listen. It doesn't take much. One more vodka, and I'll fucking spill the beans. But you know, you have these guys who do that. But it's people like myself and like you who have experience, who have hustled, who have been trying to make things happen, who people are messing it up for. I don't know. It makes me crazy, and you can't.
I mean,
it's almost weird to say you haven't been on Chopped now. Like, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Oh,
you know,
sorry,
what's interesting to me too that your industry is very reflective of my industry. It's very it is incredibly cutthroat, and you know, I came up in this business when there was no social media, right? You went out and you did the thing, and people could email the CBS, you know, audience email line, or, you know, like, or go on the website.
Right.
But despite buying followers or tweaking with algorithms or whatever the case may be, at the end of the day, I still believe that a good storyteller is a good storyteller. And whether you're a storyteller as a host or a producer or a chef or a journalist, I think that really does triumph. I really do believe that. And I think, like all things in life that sort of come full circle, like, this social media thing is here to stay, and people will do what they need to do to get 10,000 likes. But that shit comes crashing down. I really do. I mean, unless you're Kim Kardashian. But, you know, it's
Kim Kardashian. Which doesn't make any sense to me either. Why is she famous? Who cares? Listen.
And didn't her sister just have her baby?
Jesus. Whatever. I can't deal. I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. Honestly.
Oh, my God.
It
is 11 o'clock.
Oh, I know. I was about to wrap with you. I know. Listen, we got to get grandma. Grandmama's got to get to bed. So I do it on Monday nights because that's when a lot of people in my business are off work now and they're listening. Like, I'm getting messages,
tons of
messages right now. It's Monday. That's how the business works in my world. This is my day off. This is what we do. So are you in Connecticut or are you in the city now?
I'm in Connecticut. I am in Fairfield County, Connecticut. So I'm ready to go to any restaurant you want to take me to. I'm ready to go do a show. What's your favorite restaurant right now? Can you say or no?
Of course I'll say.
I live there.
Right now I am loving, and it's someone I'd love to introduce you to. My friend Carlos Baez has an amazing restaurant called El Segundo
down in Norwalk.
Oh, I've been there in Sono.
Dude, yeah, Carl's right? the man. He's the epitome of the American dream. Yeah, it's in Sono. He has two restaurants now. He's worked his way. He's just such a sweetheart of a guy, a great guy. His place is great. I love Zohara in West Hartford. It's another fantastic restaurant. My friend Scott, that place is great. Hoodoo Brown in Ridgefield, amazing restaurant. If you're going into the city, my buddy Chris Santos, Vandal is amazing. Stanton Social is a fantastic restaurant.
Wasn't he on Top Chef? Yeah. No.
He's a judge on Chopped.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a judge on Chopped. He's a great guy, just a super guy. I can talk restaurants all day long. I love it. And it's one of the things the restaurant road trip has shown me is how many great spots we have in Connecticut. I didn't know we're even there.
Yeah. No, I'm loving getting to know all these secret places that you're introducing me to. So thank you.
We got to have you come on there. Listen, you and I got to talk offline because I think that there could be some magic
made. Please.
I think we could.
I think we might be onto something.
There we go. Listen, you guys can follow Marisol, of course, on Instagram at Marisol Castro TV, right? Yep, that's right. That's also on Facebook. Make sure you go on her page there and check out her first episode of Somos. You can see it right there at Marisol Castro TV on Facebook and, of course, on Instagram. You know what else drives me nuts, too? We're talking about hosting. I hate people who bring you on the show and they want you to plug your own social media.
Oh, man.
Think about it.
Well,
like,
thank you for plugging me. No,
lazy,
thank you.
Right? Isn't it lazy? Yeah.
No, your intro to me was like, you're my publicist. You're great.
Listen, I have a theory in life, and I want to tell it to you before I let you go. I believe everybody in this world is out to get their own piece of the pie. I think if we all work together, we can make a big pie, and everybody can get some. So if I can ever do anything for you, I'm a phone call away.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. And the same to you. And let's make pie together.
Dude, listen. When we get the kitchen completely finished, I'm going to invite you over. You got to come hang out with us, all right? We're going to have a nice dinner.
Yay!
It's going to be badass. I'm going to crush it. You'll see. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you so much, Plum. It's great talking to you.
You're the best. I really enjoyed this conversation. We'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
Sounds good. Sleeping well.
Take care. Absolutely. All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There she goes, guys. That's Marisol Castro, one of my favorite people. She's amazing. You got to check it out. Check out Somos. I'm serious. It's really, really good. It's very, very well done, and she's phenomenal to watch. She's really good at what she does. And like I said, there's definitely an art to hosting things. I think Marisol has it down pat. She makes people feel incredibly comfortable. For that is something that not everybody can do. Not everybody. You heard me. I mean, she got me to, I don't think she did it on purpose, but she had me talk bad about Meredith Vieira. That's terrible. I don't know. Meredith, I take it back. I don't hate you. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. I'll be on Station Head next. See you guys. Peace.